Last time on Youth Voice Amplified.
I know, I remember some nights just wondering why are we outside at night sleeping on a bus and me not going to school some days. And I started to realize that my whole situation, my whole life up to that point wasn't very normal. And I didn't understand that a lot of like the painful things I had as a child, or like, you know, being cold, walking on the streets at night, less supervision that probably a child should have, like being cold water poured over you out of nowhere. It's like shocking almost that you're not really realizing that your life up to a certain point was terrible. It was bad. It was sad. Actually, my whole teens, it was a little bit rougher, because I was when I really acknowledge that I'm feeling feelings that I don't know what to do with. I'm having trouble, as well as I feel like I'm on my own, so I got to figure this out on my own. First option was the Marines, and my record came up. And I actually learned through there that my public defender didn't even expunge my record. I felt bad that I skipped town. Then I was trying to find a new job during then, and then COVID hit. So then that was about maybe another year and a half of unemployment.
Now let's get back to our episode.
When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this Youth-Led Monthly Interview Series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa.
And I'm Brian. If you missed the first part of our talk with Horace, now's a good time to go back and catch up. He shared a lot about his childhood challenges, navigating homelessness at a young age, and the obstacles he faced during high school.
At the end of our last episode, Horace had just graduated and had high hopes for a military career when things took a turn for the unexpected. Now let's get back to our conversation with Horace.
So when you skipped town, did you move to Kern County, or
no, what was the situation like? No. Actually, fun fact, I actually went north to Redding.
Redding, California?
Yeah, no, more north. I remember I was in around that town for a little bit, for a few months. Just generally driving around, just doing my own thing. And then I came back to where my aunt was living at the time, north of Fresno. And then, like I said, unemployment for a year and a half. And then I was feeling bad that I felt like I was mooching off my family. And it was not helping that I wasn't finding a job. COVID hit, so no one was finding a job. Or the jobs that were there were getting sucked up. Didn't feel like I could go to college, you know. And then until finally I was like, you know what, I'm just going to. At the time, I felt like I'm a burden. I'm the problem in my whole life, so I'm just gonna fully leave. And so one day I left and I crashed my car in Kern County.
Okay,
that's how you landed here, huh?
So this wasn't your original destination. No. This is kind of what happened.
No, my original destination was San Diego.
Oh,
because I'm a nerd, because I know Comic-Con's there. And I like the area. It was going to be a win-win situation for me. Didn't know what I was going to do. So my whole goal was just to go to San Diego, find out what to do. Then I crashed my car here in Bakersfield.
So I'm assuming since you crashed your car here, correct me if I'm wrong, so technically you were homeless, so you were living out of your car, you crashed your car here?
Yeah.
So then what happened then?
I almost gave up. I was like, well, every single decision I make is wrong. Whatever. I was living by the Kern River for I don't even know how long, till I almost died. I almost got killed by some kids. Some kids were walking through my area at night and woke me up, and they started throwing things at me. And I had a plywood over my head under this tree. And when they finally left, I went back to sleep, woke up right there in the plywood where my head was, there was a shovel head. They threw the shovel head. I found that plywood that day to put it over my head. And if it wasn't there, it would have hit my head. And I didn't know it. With that much force through it, through plywood, that could have probably caused a good amount of damage.
Yeah.
May have not survived.
When you were living on the riverbed, were there anybody, like, after, especially after that experience, did you find any resources? Did anybody come help you?
No one came to help.
Okay.
No one came to help. I was lucky enough where they were, when they were pushing people out of the river, I was lucky. I was surrounded by heavily treed area.
Wooded areas.
So I just hid. And no one really came in to push me out. But besides the people who cleaned out that area out and other homeless people and people who biked, no one necessarily came. No one said, hey, you need help. These are the resources. Not till actually one of the other homeless people that I knew said someone came by and handed me this card for the shelter. Then I, like I said, that shovel incident happened, and I was like, okay, I'll just go to the shelter.
And so after you went to the shelter, then you were...
Okay. Then after the shelter, I was at the shelter for like maybe a week at that point. And they said, hey, go to the place called Flood to show me where it was. I went to Flood. Flood asked me if I was the foster kid, and I didn't know I was a foster kid. So I was like, no, I'm not a foster kid. I didn't live with my mom. I stopped living with my mom when I was 10, but not a foster kid. I said, hey, go down to the Dream Center. Just see if you're in. If you're in, they may help you. If not, just come back to Flood. I went to the Dream Center. To my surprise, I was a foster kid. I don't know when it happened. Well, I was a foster kid. Or I was in their system. And so they ended up helping me out quite a lot.
Very awesome.
And for our listeners who don't know what Flood is, can you briefly explain what Flood is?
I can jump in on that one. So Flood is a homeless resource out here in Kern County, and they specialize on hands-on being out there in the community, connecting homeless to resources. So whether you're youth, so they're very much on the riverbed, and their main goal is to get out there and reach the homeless community, help them get their vital docs, and then connect them back to resources here.
Well, they definitely did their job. They connected Horace to the Dream Center. And from when you, upon connection, what did the Dream Center do for you?
I would say probably at first it was more of a place to interact with other people that weren't just other homeless people. But they gave me the options. What do I need to do? What do I want to do? But, trying to help me find a job. I wanted to work. So they say, okay, come through us. We'll both aid you in trying to find a job, get stable housing, if that what I wish, which I did. And they, I think after I used to get up early from the homeless shelter, have breakfast there, walk all the way from the east side of Bakersfield downtown. I would say I was probably, I don't like to toot my own horn. Okay, well, that was a lie. I love to toot my own horn. but I would say I was there every single day trying to find a job. I was there from this when they opened to when they closed, trying to find a job. And I think after maybe two-ish months, I believe, of trying to find a job and trying to find more stable housing, I got a job and I went into their low barrier shelter, they call, on the same day. So I had to rush back to the east side to the shelter, get the little things I had with me, go all the way to the low barrier shelter, get in, and then the next morning I went to work.
Sounds like they helped you out a lot.
They did. I do think that without that, I'll probably still be at the homeless shelter, most likely doing this probably the same thing every day.
Sounds like that was like the turning point of your life, connecting with the Dream Center. Can you tell us about your life now?
Life now, I think, like I said before, I still struggle with things that I'm still dealing with. I do know I'm more stubborn in my own ways. Like I said, I've been doing things on my own practically my whole life, and it's hard for people like that to really accept help or acknowledge things as problems. So I want to say I was probably more stubborn in my own trying to ask for help on my own instead of people saying, hey, do you need help? I was less likely to ask for help than people say, hey, do you need help? Right now, like I said, besides that, I have a job. I have my own apartment that I pay rent and my utilities. Lucky enough, I am on my own. So turn off all my electricity every single time I go out my building. Because I'm not paying my PG&E bill. Or at least I'm not.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. Cheapest I ever had my own PG&E bill was about $30.
Wow.
And that's just gas and a little light. That's because that's all I need. I ain't paying for nothing more.
I wish my PG&E bill was $30.
See, that means you're using too much light.
Hey there, amazing listeners. Before we continue, we want to take a moment to recognize all the young people out there who have triumphed over adversity. You know who you are.
Our Youth Voice Amplified podcast is all about celebrating the strength and resilience of young people like you. We believe your experiences can inspire and empower others who might be facing similar challenges.
So if you have a story to tell and want to be a guest on our show, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. You can find us on Instagram at Youth Voice Amplified Podcast or drop us an email in the youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Together, let's amplify your voice and share the power of your journey. Remember, your voice matters and your story can change lives. We can't wait to hear from you and share your remarkable story with the world.
Thank you for being a part of our Youth Voice Amplified community.
Now let's get back to our episode.
What is the goal that you have for yourself in the future?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. I think for a goal, at least for me, for right now, it's to deal with my own mental health more and be okay with myself. That I want to say that's probably a big one for me, saying that I'm okay, I'm all right.
What are you most proud of?
I got the center to a Tootsie Pop. No. No. What I'm most proud of, I'm still trying. It's that I'm just still here and I'm still trying to do the thing.
I like that. That's a good one.
That's definitely something to be proud of.
It's very simple, but it means the most. So here in Youth Voice Amplified, we love to use your story to empower others and write change and help inspire. What would you say were some common misconceptions about you being homeless and a youth on the riverbed?
I would say that everyone's different. Everyone was different. When I was there, some people, what's your main misconception of homeless people in general? There's a few like that. Some were just down on their luck and kind of like me, feeling like they tried and they failed and slowly giving up. I think that's a lot of people on the river, is like they tried and they failed and they gave up, and because they kept on trying. I know one guy, he truly did try. He had an apartment, he had a job, his apartment caught fire. So he became homeless, and he still had a job, and he had a divorce with his spouse. Couldn't see his kids, mainly because of his living situation. He was still working. I still saw him get picked up by one of his coworkers to go work, and I remember I saw a random person kick him. Cause he was sitting down on the side of the street, just tired. Cause when he came back, he just stayed where they dropped him off and just rest a little bit. And I was walking by, and just a random person came over, who wasn't homeless, cause they walked towards apartments not that far away, They just kicked him for no apparent reason. And I forgot what they said, because it was a while ago. Well, it was something like, not bum, but something like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't do drugs. He didn't do anything like that. He was down on his luck. I know, like, it's like 2 weeks later, I didn't see him no more. You know, went to work and such. And I don't know what happened to him. Truly don't. And it's hard for people who are currently homeless, because a lot of them, like I said, some of them give up. I almost gave up. And a lot of them just need a helping hand, a smile, like someone to smile at them or say, hello, how's your day? Because, you know, they're people. They're people who don't got anything besides themselves. And if someone's with them, that person. But a lot of times it's just them and themselves. And that can make a person, even without any type of drug or alcohol, that can make a person go crazy. If you're just by yourself 24/7, all day, and no one caring about you. It's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking because a lot of people, they're just broken. And it's hard for, I don't say for me too. I'm a broken person too. And I didn't do drugs. I didn't do anything. I'll say probably the worst thing I ever did was alcohol. And that was more of a coping mechanism for me. A smile helps people. Like I smile to everybody that I walk on the street. I say, hello, how are you? And I'm in the full mentality of, if you want to respond positively, you could respond positively. If you don't want to respond, you don't have to respond. Doesn't matter. I said hello and hi to you. And that's all that's really needed to some people. I know one person who I said hello, and they were extremely rude to me. And then the next time I saw them, they apologized and said, I'm sorry, I was having a bad day. And that was it. Sometimes it's just hello. It doesn't matter if that person's rude or looking bad or acting crazy. Sometimes it's just a good hello, how are you? Because at least someone acknowledged that they are a person.
What would you say to youth who are currently going through the same situation as you did? What words of wisdom can you share with them?
I would say that, at least some words of wisdom, is it's tough. It's hard. It's not easy. I know that. We all know that. There's people who can help. There's people who want to help. It's on both people wanting to help and us accepting that help is a hard thing. And sometimes you just got to accept people helping you. It's hard because a lot of people feel ashamed. I know I felt ashamed. I felt sad that I was in my own situation and I needed to fix it. And if someone helps me, that's also an acknowledgement that I failed. So accept people's help and keep on trying, keep on going forward.
I like that. What's next for you? What does your future hold?
I don't know. I truly don't know. I could say what I would like for my future to hold, but I'll be honest. I don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. I think I will accept whatever happens and try to deal with it positively. If it's a positive, or if it's negative, just try to move on past it, whatever it is. Keep on going. Keep on going. I think that's what I probably would see, is me just keep on going.
Is there anything you want to add that we didn't cover or didn't ask you?
I would say there are probably people out there who don't know that they were in foster care or in the foster system. Do I have answers for it? No, I don't. But probably more resources to get people to say, hey, was I part of this or not? Or get or get more people acknowledging, not acknowledging, but realizing that they were at one point in the foster care and that there's help for them if they are struggling.
Before we wrap up, I would like to ask you, what is your life motto?
A life motto. I love Finding Nemo, so keep...
Who doesn't?
Just keep swimming?
Just keep swimming. Yeah, something like that. Something like just keep on going. Keep on going. I could have stopped many times in my life, but I didn't. I failed a lot in my life, but I'm still here. I was homeless multiple times.
Ben.
I'm still here. I was alone and felt the world ending for myself. But I am still here. And I'm keep on going.
Thank you for trusting us with your story. Today, when a former foster youth shares their story like you did, and they give hope to those who are currently in care and remind them that they are not alone.
Thank you, Horace.
No, thank you too.
What a wonderful guest. I love Horace. I love his spirit, his joking, but also very realness to him. He has a very real presentation about him, and I absolutely love that sometimes we walk into these episodes expecting one thing, but then we get something super amazing. I love that he continuously touched on mental illness and the fact that we need to stay on top of it and what it means to him having a parent that went through that.
I really loved all the wisdom that he shared, and he really self-reflected a lot, and you know, seems like something that he continues to do throughout his day, and he just continues to keep on going.
I just love that we focus on mental illness this episode, because sometimes it's such a taboo subject. So I think that this was really important and powerful.
I loved how he shared a lot of words of wisdom. One of the things that I admire the most was how he really recognized how he never knew he was really in care. That was something that helped him along his way, and the fact that he never knew was kind of shocking.
I absolutely love this episode. I love that his joking demeanor made it lighthearted, but at the same time, there was also a background of seriousness when it came to the resources he did or didn't receive, and his demeanor throughout the whole thing reminded me of Dory from, like, Nemo. We're like, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. What an amazing guest. This was truly one of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely amazing guest.
Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoyed what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment and rate us and leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness to podcasts and find new listeners.
And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or a guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.